All right, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. As we begin to break bread today and share a word, this morning I got up and the Lord put a word in my heart for you. And he was talking. I want to talk about the anchor of our soul. The Lord said to me that some people are going through some storms and the winds are blowing and the waves are moving and things seems to be moving around. But he says there is an anchor of your soul that you have to be anchored, that even in the storm you might move a little bit to the right, move a little bit to the left, move around a little bit, but you're still in position.
Hallelujah.
tell your neighbor you're still in position. Hallelujah. Because you see, there's technology right in the storm, the way they build the buildings now. You see, back in the day, right, they used to build them rigid. They were rigid. They were unyielding. And then when the storms would come, it would break them and they would fall. But now with modern technology, right, we are able to build skyscrapers and they do the little dance. They do a dance, even in the mall where we live, close to where we live. When you go to that mall, many times I try to find a certain spot because certain places in that mall, baby, is rocking. Yeah. It's moving. There's a little bit of movement, right? Yeah. Because when the storms come to your life, when the hurricane comes to your life, you got to learn that although you move a little to the right or you move a little, your feet are still planted. Tell somebody, my feet are still on the floor. I'm still planted in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because some people, they teach and they preach a Christianity where you can't make a mistake. And the minute you make a mistake, boy, you don't turn, you're going to burn. You know, they're ready to fry you like overdone fried chicken. The minute you say you make a mistake, that's it, you're over. But that's not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ says, he says, I don't want you to sin. But just in case you do sin, hallelujah, we have an advocate, a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin. That means that he's the one who paid the price, shed the blood for your sins and mine even before we came to Christ. So now that we slip up and we make a mistake, don't let the devil or his little two-legged helpers come and try and point the finger at you and try and break you down and try and get you to lose your hope in your eternity. Salvation, because let me tell you something, when God saved you, he didn't save you for a moment or for an hour or for a day, but when he saved you once for all. He said your salvation is eternal because it's dependent on the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says no one is able to pluck you out of his hands. No one is able to take away your salvation. No one is able to rock your boat to such an extent that you're going to sink, or you might move with a wave or with a wind, but your anchor has to be secured in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not in the works that you are doing now, because your works improve as you improve. Come on. Sanctification is a process. You don't become perfect overnight. That's why he put apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting, ongoing perfecting of the saints, because we're growing from glory to glory and from faith to faith. So don't let the devil beat you up and lie to you and tell you that you ain't saved yet and you ain't going to heaven yet if you die, and you don't have the right to pray because you're not righteous enough and you're not holy enough and you're not ready. Hallelujah. Don't let him lie to you. Say, oh no, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm bought with a price. The price was paid, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When he shed his blood, I was saved. In fact, before the foundation of the world, my Bible says that the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, so before this world began, I was saved in the mind of God. And when the appointed time came, he said, in Christ, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem you and I. And then years, how long after? Hallelujah. Huh? 2,000 years later, when you were born, then that salvation that was purchased for you before the foundation of the world, then on the cross, became applicable to your life. Because I got news for you. You didn't just go, you were not a second thought. You were not a mistake. There's no mistake about you. You are an eternal creature. You are an eternal person with eternal purpose and destiny and power and anointing and inheritance. You are a child of God, bought with the blood. You're a citizen of heaven. Your citizenship is sure. Your salvation is sure. Your place in God is sure. Your authority is sure. You can stand against every devil. My spiritual mother, hallelujah. I remember one time my mom told me, my spiritual mom, she said, you know, I had fallen and failed. And then I came back and I said, Mom, when can I cast out devils? She says, son, the moment you get saved, you got authority over every devil. You can bind devils. You can loose angels. You can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you something, child of God, the moment you were born again, God recreated your spirit and his spirit came to take residence in you. Hallelujah. And you have authority from that moment to live in victory. You have authority to speak against demons, to speak against sickness, to speak against oppression, to speak against the works of darkness and see them bow to you in the ever-prevailing name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Child of God, never try to do things in your name or in your strength, but understand that there is a strength beyond you. It's called, the Bible says that greater is Christ who is in you than the devil who is in the world. He says, I give you a name that is above every other name, that are the name of Jesus. He said, you, I give you the right to use my name, and whatever you bind in my name is bound. Whatever you loose in my name is loose. Whatever you tie up in my name shall be tied up. Whatever you release in my name shall be released. I give you authority. You got it right in your mouth and right in your heart. Hallelujah. Hey, ha. Glory be to God. And he said, son, I have given my people a hope that goes behind the veil. A hope that is an anchor, an anchor of their soul, that even when the storms come, even when the winds blow, even when the thunder makes noise and the lightning strikes, tell my people that my anchor, hallelujah, that my anchor, that they are anchored in me. Tell my people that I have written their names in my Lamb's Book of Life. Tell my people that their salvation is sure. Tell my people, don't doubt my word. Don't doubt my promises. Don't doubt my anointing on them. Don't doubt my calling on their life. Don't doubt, hallelujah, who I've called them to be, what I've called them to do, what I've given them, hallelujah. Because though your boat may go one way or the other, hallelujah, though you may slip and slide, though you may fail, though you may fall flat on your face while you're creeping, hallelujah, don't let no devil or no lying preacher beat you up or break you down, because you're supposed to fall, hallelujah, as you learn to creep, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The same falls that you have fallen and failed, it is only a stepping stone to a place of victory, because your mess becomes your ministry, hallelujah. Your mess becomes your ministry, and the failures that you go through, hallelujah, and the lessons that you learn, hallelujah, are what you now, as an adult Christian, are going to help the new babies who come into the body, so you won't be beating them up because they fail, because you're going to understand that as far as it is in man, man will always fail, because you may not fail on this level, but when you go into the next level and face another devil, you might fail. But though you fall, you shall not be cast down. My Bible still says, hallelujah, the ways of a good man, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman, they are ordered by the Lord. And though they fall, they shall not be cast out. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I've been young and now I'm old, the psalmist said. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen his seed begging for bread. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. When God takes a soul, when God takes a man, when God comes to a man or a woman and he begins to call them by their name and say, I've called you into my destiny. I've called you into salvation. I've called you into my kingdom. When that person says, yes, that is just the beginning of your development. That is your new birth. That's not when you become an adult in Christ. That's when you become a baby in Christ. And God begins to feed you with the only thing that you can drink, which is milk. Hey, and God begins to deal with you the only way he can deal with you, which is as a baby. And he begins to nurture you and cuddle you and feed you, because you can't do it for yourself. So he begins to clean you when you mess, change your diapers, change your clothing, wash you, clean you. Hallelujah. He said, surely Israel, at one time, he said, they didn't understand that when I found them in their filth and in their vomit, I took them out and I washed them thoroughly and I cleanse them thoroughly. Hallelujah. Because why? Because God begins to clean up people. God begins to sanctify a people for it to be his dwelling place. He begins to mold and make a people. When he calls, nobody comes into a church by accident or by incident, but there is a divine assignment on each and every one of you, because each of you are a living stone in a spiritual house that he's building. Each of you are a precious part of the house of God that he's building. Each of you has been handpicked by Almighty God, and you have a particular anointing and grace, oh, and gifting. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would praise the Lord. Because he's building a house according to what will please him. Amen. Hallelujah. And he doesn't put all the same people. If you look at the house of God, you'll find some soft-spoken and some loud-spoken. You'll find some white and some black. You'll find some who like warfare and some who like praise. You'll find, because let me tell you something. God doesn't make one size fits all. Every person is different. Every person has different strengths, different anointings, different abilities. Some people are set to be ushers. Some are set to be worship leaders. Some are set to be cleaners. Some are set to be preachers. Some are set to be prophets. Some are set to be elders. Some are set to be technical. Hallelujah. God has a place for every person and a person for every place. And God will put you in that place. And God will anoint you mightily and raise you up, hallelujah, in that place, because that place is not the only place that you've been called to function, but you've been called for a reason and for a season, for a time and for a season. Hallelujah. And as you show yourself faithful, the Lord said, he who is faithful in little will be given what? Much. He'll be given a lot. Hallelujah. So regardless of your station in life right now, you have to understand that you have been assigned for promotion. That promotion is part of your agenda. Promotion is on your curriculum. You got to understand that the next thing coming to you is promotion, because promotion, my Bible says, doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from the east or from the west. It's not your boss
boss who's going to promote you. It's not the government who's going to promote you. It's not the preacher who's going to promote you. It's not, no. Listen, promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. It's not auntie who's going to give you an inheritance. No. It is from the Lord. Promotion is from the Lord. And let me tell you, you want for God to make you. Because when man makes you, today they make you, and today they hail you, but tomorrow they break you, and tomorrow they nail you. Hallelujah. But when God makes you, man can't break you. I'm going to say that again. I say, when God makes you, man cannot break you. Hallelujah. When God makes you, man cannot break you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are beyond, hallelujah, the destruction of the tongues of men. You are beyond the obeah of men. You are beyond the witchcraft of people. You are beyond, they can't touch you. Because you've been made by Almighty God. Hallelujah. So don't be in a hurry for man to make you, for man to promote you, for man to approve of you, for man to put their stamp on you, because they put it today and take it off tomorrow. But when God, hallelujah, when God puts his mighty hand upon you, he said, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will raise you up in your due season. Tell your neighbor, due season. Hallelujah. Say, don't pick it before it's ripe. Tell them, due season. Hallelujah. Say, you don't want to be forced ripe ever in God. No. Because the Lord has a due season for your promotion. He got a due season for your promotion. Hallelujah. And he's going to raise you up at the right time. He gonna raise you up when the situation is right, when the people are ready. Hallelujah. When you've been trained, when you've been equipped, when you've been corrected. You see, he said, thy rod, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? Because he said, the Lord is with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Somebody said, I thought the rod and the staff was to beat the sheep. No, sir. The rod and the staff of the shepherd is to beat the enemy. Let me tell you, that's why it is to be a comfort to you, because he's going to knock that devil on his head today. He's going to knock that devil on his head today. He's going to the rod and the staff of the Lord, hallelujah, is your comfort. Because even when you go or try to go, hallelujah, the wrong way, because you don't know how to go, and you start going the wrong way, the rod and the staff is your comfort, because it'll just gently nudge you back into the straight and into the narrow. It'll bring you back onto the highway of holiness. It'll bring you back into the place where no devil can touch you or hold you or overcome you. Hallelujah. But when that enemy comes, it's not a nudge. It's not a please go. It's a knockout shot. Hallelujah. Tell somebody that the Lord going to knock out your enemy. Hallelujah. Because the rod and the staff of God is your comfort. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise God. Hallelujah. To know that his hands are upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your seat in his mighty house. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. He told me, he said, son, I have an anchor that can be moved. Tell my people, oh, they shall not be moved. Tell my people, I will not suffer them or allow them to be moved by the tongues of men, by the prayers of witches and warlocks, by the intentions of the wicked. Hallelujah. Tell my people, they shall not be moved, but they shall be established, planted by the rivers of living water, bringing forth fruit in due season. Hallelujah. Their leaves shall not wither. Whatever they do, it shall prosper. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise the Lord, the God of heaven. That's how you take that word. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the 6th chapter.
Glory. Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Hallelujah. Reading from verse 12. He says that you do not be sluggish. He doesn't want the people to be sluggish or to be lazy. He said, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. He said, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. And he said to Abraham, surely blessing, I will bless you. In other words, he was making a pledge to Abraham. He was saying, listen, man, Abraham, I promise. I'm God, and I don't have to promise, because when I say yes, my yes is yes, and my no is no, and my amen is amen. When I say be light, the light is. When I say be, hallelujah, it comes to pass. When I say stop, they gotta stop. Hallelujah, my yes is yes, and my no is no. But because I love you, Abraham, and because I want you to be confident and convinced of what I say, I make an oath. Abraham, I promise you. I swear this is what I'm going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And God says to this house, he says, I've sworn to my people, and I will swear again to my people about my plans and purposes for them, about my intention to raise them up, about my place for them in the earth, about my future for them, which is sure, about the things that cannot be taken away from them, about the things that are immovable. And my people, I will let them know that if they set their eyes upon me, and if they enter into the place behind the veil, and if they move out of the natural into the spiritual, and if they will come into my spirit and come into a place with me, tell my people that they shall not be moved, they shall not be shaken, they shall not be removed, they shall not diminish, I shall not take away from them, but surely I shall bless them and multiply them. Hallelujah. Verse 14, he says, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise of God. He says, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is the end of all dispute. What does that mean? Hallelujah. That means, of course you've gone to a wedding, and you see the man. You see the priest there, the pastor, and he says, so-and-so, Mr. Lion Man, do you take this woman to be your wife? Do you promise to love her, never to beat her wrong, never to horn her, never Amen. To abuse her, until death do you part? And this lion man will say, yes, I do. I do today. You see, man would promise all kinds of stuff. They promise all kinds of stuff. You see, in the heat of the moment, a woman who knows how to do her stuff and knows the gifting and anointing and equipment that God gives her and knows how to use it, when she's using her stuff, she knows exactly when to say something to that man to get a promise out of him. Oh, now look at you. None of you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. She knows exactly how to work things around. Hallelujah. And how to get. But sometimes it's a husband or a wife. And they make promises at the altar. And they make promises in the bedroom. And they make promises in the park, overlooking the ocean. All kinds of promises. Girl, you're the only one for me. Man, you're like my, you're Abraham, you're my Lord. Yeah, everything I ever dreamed about. Boy, I'd never leave. You gotta kill me. If you wanna get rid of me, you gotta kill me. Kill me now, because I ain't moving. I stick to you like hog and mud. I ain't moving. But although people make promises today, truth is, many times it's not long, hallelujah, before those promises come to nothing. Hallelujah. And God knows the nature of man. Hallelujah. He knows sometimes ministering in the nations, talking to this young man, flowing as a prophet to him. And I began to tell him, I said, listen, your heart is broken because people have made promises to you that they never kept. And the Lord told me that it wasn't people, it was his father. But he didn't release me to say it publicly. Because you see, you could know a lot of things, but you don't have to say everything you know. Hallelujah. And I told him, I said, people have made promises to you and they never kept it. And your heart is broken and a man begins to cry uncontrollably. Hallelujah. Spirit of God begins to move on it because sometimes parents make promises to their children that they never keep. I mean, everybody knows politicians. When they're running for office, let me tell you, when it's time for election, I'm going to fix the road. I'm going to give green cards. I'm going to help this group. Come on now. I'm going to lower your taxes. I'm going to raise your salaries. Come on. I'm going to give you bonuses. Come on. I'm going to come to your house, shake your hand, and kiss your bald-headed baby. Hallelujah. They make all kind of promises. They promise the world. But before you know it, you know what? Their promises ain't worth nothing. But God, because he knew the nature of man, and because he knew many people had spoken to Abraham and promised him stuff, he said, listen, Abraham, because I could find no one greater to promise, I'm going to swear to you that I'm going to bless you. It's like, imagine God coming to you and saying, I swear to you that I'm going to bless you. And I don't know today what God has promised you. But God has made promises to every single person. Maybe he promised you a house. Maybe he promised you a car, a ministry. Maybe it's the salvation of your loved ones. Yeah. Right? Maybe he promised you something. Hallelujah. There has to be a promise in your life. And he says, but after he had endured, then he got the promise. For men swear by one greater, and an oath for confirmation is the end of all dispute. In other words, once there is a confirmation, once there is an oath, once there is an oath made, then the people that the promise is made to, they don't doubt anymore. So the Lord, wanting to make his promise sure, amen, to Abraham, he made an oath. Right. Hallelujah. Verse 17, he says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. He wants to show to the heirs of promise. And the heirs of promise, not only talking about Abraham, but it's talking about you. I want you to understand, we're not just talking about Abraham, but he's talking about the heirs of promise. That's you. He wants to show them the immutability of his counsel. That means the unchangeableness of his promise. When he makes a promise, it's unchanging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The unchangeability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath, or he guaranteed it by an oath. So when God promises you something, he guarantees that promise by an oath. He's saying, not only is he saying, I'm going to do this for you, right, but he says, I swear to you that I'm going to do this. Yes. I swear to you that I'm going to do this. So that you can have confidence that what God says, he is going to do. Hallelujah. Verse 18, thus by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation or strong confidence. You see, the purpose of God's swearing over his promise to you is so that you would have strong confidence. Because what happens is that when God makes a promise, many times it goes completely opposite to what's going on in your life. Just like Abraham. He said, Abraham, I've made you the father of many nations. He had no children. He said, blessing, I'll bless you. Multiply, and I'll multiply you. He didn't have an heir. Sarah couldn't make any children. He couldn't make any children. Right? And it's the same way with you. Maybe God promised you a house, and you can't even find a place to rent. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. How can he say, you're going to give me a house, and I can't even afford to pay my rent? What's up with that? Well, that's up. That's how God is. God will make you a promise that's beyond you. Because why would he promise you what you could get for yourself? Why would he promise you what you don't need his help with? Hallelujah. But he promised you something that you can't help. You can't get it for yourself. Hallelujah. And he began to move in your life supernaturally because that's how he is. Why? Because you're his child. Amen. You see, I don't know about you, but I got one child and I love him. Amen. I love my child. Yes. I want to give my child a house. I want to give my child a car. Yeah. I want to give him a college education. Yeah. I want to give him, if I can, a business. I want to give him everything that I could give him. I don't want him to suffer like me. I want him to excel. I want him to be higher than me. I want to give him all the knowledge that I have. I want to lay hands and impart the anointing to him. I want to teach him and train him. I want to put him to sit and show him how to operate in the spirit. I want to teach him everything I know so that he don't have to go through the years to learn it. Amen. Hallelujah. And God, because you are God's child, he loves you. And he wants to show you, right? He wants to show you and move in you like that. And he wants to bless you. So the Bible says over in Romans, but we can't go there, Romans chapter 5, it talks about that in the presence of God, when God swore to Abraham in his presence that Abraham believed the Lord. You see, God don't send a letter for you. He sent his word. But after he sends his word and you're reading his word, all of a sudden he comes. He comes. Oh, glory be to God. He comes to you as you're reading his word and he begins to sway. And he begins to confirm that word. And that word becomes alive on the inside of you. That word becomes not just a written word, but it becomes a living word. It becomes a rhema word. And all of a sudden, out of all the 66 books, out of all the chapters, out of all the verses, this one verse or this one portion of scripture becomes the rhema word of God. And God comes and swears to you, I'm going to do this. I'm showing you how God raises up his people. He raises up his people by giving them a promise. He gives them a promise. That's why you have to guard the promises that he has given you. One day I'm driving down the road and the Lord say, he says, you know the devil is not after me, after you. I always thought that the devil didn't like Chester Paul. The Lord say, you know that the devil is not after you? I'm like, really? No? What is he after? He says, the devil is after the word that's in you. He's after the promises that God has spoken to you. He's not after you. He's after the promises. Because you see, if he could get those promises out of you, if he could get you to doubt what God has promised, then you call God a liar and you believe the liar who is the devil. And your destiny has just been messed up because the promises of God are always in accordance with the purpose and destiny of God for your life. God don't give you, equipment to build a house if your destiny is not to build a house. God don't give you equipment to go and do medical operations if you're not called to be a doctor. God gives you things that are in line with your purpose and your destiny. You see, I didn't understand. One, I heard about the gifts of the Spirit and how God moves. And I heard about the three gifts of inspiration and the three gifts of revelation and the three gifts of power. Three gifts that say something, three gifts that know something, three gifts that do something. And they said the three gifts that say something is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And then the three gifts that know something is the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And then the three gifts that do something is faith, hallelujah, miracles, and gifts of healing. And I had heard that teaching about the nine gifts of the Spirit. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to be in any one of these categories. I don't want to be in any one of these. I want to be in all. And I left it like that. And it was years later that I'm reading that portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where it lists the gifts of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I'm reading through the chapter and reading through the list. And when I hit discerning of spirits, it's like somebody took a highlighter and highlighted it. Whoops. And I was like, whoa. And the Lord said, that's yours. Amen. Came into me. And then when I reached prophecy, highlighter. There was no highlighter. It was not highlighted. Right? Discerning of spirits. And that's yours. Amen. And then gift of faith. And when I checked it out, I realized that prophecy is a gift that says something. Discerning of spirits is a gift that knows something. And gift of faith is a gift that does something. Amen. So the Lord had answered my prayer to be in all three dimensions, yes, right? Hallelujah. And it's the same thing with you. Amen. You have at least one of those nine gifts, amen, that you're called to operate in. Yes, at least one. You got to find out which one it is. Ha. And you got to begin now to meditate on that gift. Because Paul told Timothy, he said, meditate on the things that I've said to you. Didn't I lay my hands on you and impart a spiritual gift? Meditate on that spiritual gift. So that way your improvement will be seen by all men. Your progress will be seen by all men. How? By you thinking about everything? No. You don't have to think about everything. You have to think about what God called you to do. Amen. You have to think about the gifts that he put in you. What gifts did he put in you? What did he call you to be? A baker? A butler? What did he call you to be? You don't think about, oh, I wonder how medicine, how the doctors operate, how the lawyers operate. How the, no, 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 no. You focus on what he called you to do. Did he call you to be an apostle? Well, then don't focus on every other ministry. Focus on your ministry. Be focused. Whatever he called you to do, be focused on that. That's how you're going to make progress. And it's years later when I understood that the discerning of spirits is absolutely necessary to an apostle. The gift of faith, you must have faith to walk as an apostle. And the gift of prophecy is absolutely necessary. And he said, that equipment, in addition to more, he said, listen, right, I started off with those three and started flowing. He said, I've given you the word of knowledge because you're going to need supernatural knowledge to deal with people. So you're going to know what's going on with them. Not just prophecy for the future, but knowledge for now and before. You're going to know what's going on with them now. And know what happened to them before. That's word of knowledge. Because word of knowledge is about something that happened in the past or present that is supernaturally understood. Right? Prophecy generally deals with the future. Okay? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So the Lord wanted to tell Abraham and make Abraham understand that, listen, I am not like a husband or a wife. I'm not like a politician. I'm not, you see these people, they go to court and they say, put your hand on the Bible and swear. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then they lie. It's called perjury. Right. Husband and wife, I swear to love you until death do us part. And then they lie and it's called divorce. Right? But God is saying, listen, I'm not like that. You have to grasp this. I am not like that. Don't put me in the category of a preacher or of any person. I am in a class by myself. And when I say I'm going to do something, I don't care how it looks. The Bible says that Abraham, you know, he didn't have any physical evidence. He was dead. Sarah was dead. Right? And in spite of the physical situation, he did not doubt God. But he chose to glorify God, and he chose to meditate on the promises of God, and he chose to put the word of God in his mouth. And when God changed his name, he introduced himself as Abraham, saying, I'm a father of many nations. And in the natural, he had no children. Is that a lesson for you and I to learn, right? To stop thinking of ourselves, right? in ways that are outside of the purposes of God, outside of the perimeters of what God has said, has said to us, what he has promised us. Stop thinking of ourselves as nobodies from nowhere. Stop thinking of ourselves as few sheep. Stop thinking of ourselves as the forsaken and the forgotten. And begin to understand that we are a chosen generation, that we are bought with a price, that we are called by Almighty God, and he has his hands upon us, and he is working out everything for our good. Hallelujah. And although, he says, through faith and patience, we possess the promises. So that means it's going to take some time for you to get there. Hallelujah. It's going to take a little bit of time. Verse 19, he says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the presence of the, behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us. So this hope, this anchor that we have, right, where does this anchor go? This anchor goes behind the veil. What veil? The veil that once separated man from God. This anchor of your faith, precious child of God, has to be anchored behind the veil, in the very throne room of God, in the very presence of God. In other words, listen, the only thing that's going to keep you in these troubled days is your relationship and your connection to the unseen God behind the veil. Hallelujah. Your faith has to be connected. Your hope has to be connected. Your life has to be connected to this unseen being, this supernatural God who is behind the veil of everything that's natural. Hallelujah. And you have to have a connection and a relationship with this supernatural God that he can continue to feed you. Hallelujah. Feed you with the food of champions and raise you up to be who you've been destined to be. Hallelujah. To be who you've been destined to be and to become what you've been predestined to become. Because God has a place and a plan and a purpose for you. But that's why he says it's a fight of faith. What's the fight? The fight is that you would believe the promises of God, the word of God that he has spoken to you. Hallelujah. He's made some promises to me. I don't care who says what. I don't care what people think. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care none of that. All I care about is one thing. God has made certain promises to me, and I, my faith, my hope is anchored to his promises. My hope and my faith is anchored to the Lord himself. Hallelujah. And though I might move and shake to the right or to the left, make no mistake, I'm secure. Make no mistake, I'm on the road, on the right road. Make no mistake, hallelujah. I've not gone off on a rabbit trail. I've not gone off on another road leading somewhere else. But I am on the road of divine destiny. I am on the road of purpose and destiny. I am on the right road. I'm on the road, the highway of holiness. I am on the road, and as I continue to walk on this road, I know what is ahead of me, though it might be around the next corner. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the road that I am on, hallelujah, though, hallelujah, we may have, let me show you this, come with me, hallelujah, the road that I am on, let's go to Romans 5, let me show you this real quick, hallelujah, glory be to God, because child of God, you got to understand this, this is going to bless you, Romans, hallelujah. Let's look at 4:17. He says, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. Parallel verse where God is talking to Abraham. In the presence of him, in the presence of God, whom Abraham believed, in the presence of God, whom Abraham believed, in the presence of God. In other words, what did I just tell you? I told you that God sent the Bible for you. But when he's about to talk to you, he comes in person. In the presence of God, whom Abraham believed. When God ready to get to talk to you, he's going to come in person. And he's going to talk, speak a word to you from the word. He's going to speak a word to your heart. He's going to speak a word to your mind. He's going to make his presence and his plan and his purposes and his power and his provision known to you. He's going to let you know who he is and who you are. He's going to let you know that based on your assignment on this planet, certain things comes along with that assignment. If you're called to be a baker, you can expect some flour. If you're called to be a doctor, you can expect some needles. If you're called to be a plumber, you can expect a wrench. If you're called to be a preacher, you can expect an anointing on your mouth. If you're called to heal, you can expect power to heal the sick and cast out devils. If you're called for business, you can expect some supernatural favor and some money miracles coming your way. Hallelujah. If you're called into finances, you can expect some doors opening and you moving into those realms. If whatever you're called to be, you can expect the provision, hallelujah, that comes along with that. You got to understand, hallelujah, that you have access into the resources of God based on your calling. Child of God, know your calling. Know who you're called to be. Know what your job description is. Know what your assignment is, because based on your assignment, there's some provision that's already been stored up and released to you to fulfill your assignment. Hallelujah. There is always money for the mission. If you know your mission, then money gonna come to you. Hallelujah. There is always miracles for the mission. If you know your mission on planet Earth, if you know what you've been called to do, there are resources for you. Hallelujah. But without a vision, there is no resources. Without a vision, the people perish. But as long as you know your mission, God says, son, go on the radio. I say, yes. I'm going to give you that testimony after. He says, son, go on the radio. I say, yes. Hallelujah. He said, you're going to expand on the left and the right. I say, yes. I say, how, Lord? He said, go on the radio. I'm sending you for souls. I say, yes. Call the man. The man say, $200 for the radio. I say, okay, no problem. Man say, you know, the best I can do is $175. I'm like, okay, no problem. No problem. Get up the morning. The Lord says, son, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. I say, yes, Lord. And he reminds me of my wife. She always asking somebody for some favor. Hallelujah. I hate to do that, but she always getting through. Right. And the Lord say, ask and you shall receive. So I call the man. I say, is there any way you can give me a discount? And I'm trying to make some jokes. I say, you don't have a discount for prophets, right, for apostles? No. You don't have a discount for holy men of God? No, you don't have a discount for real men of God, all kinds of things. He said, no, that's the best I can do, $175. It was $200. Mm-hmm. $175, I'll give you it for. Right. I say, and what about if I pay 3 months in advance? What are you going to do? He said, listen, if you want to pay 3 months, I can talk to my boss, but he can tell you which part of hell to go. Because that's the best I can do, oh, right? And it's up to him. And he can do it for, you know, $150. He do it. You can ask him, but ain't no guarantees. Right. And the Lord say, go down. I say, and what if I decide to pay 6 months? Mm-hmm. Mm. He say, well, I don't know. If you talk to them, I don't know what they're going to do. I say, well, let me tell you something. I have $100 in my spirit. God told me $100. Right. So you go tell your boss that I'm going to pay 6 months in advance, and I want it for $100. Right. He calls back. He said, the guy said yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. From $200, $175, $150, $125, $1. How? Let me tell you how. All because God came and said something. He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, you have not because you ask not. And then he put a word, $100. Whatever, child of God, let me tell you, whatever God says to you to do, do it. And you will see the hand of God. Some people say, well, I want to see miracles. You can't see miracles without following the word of the Lord. Amen. What God tells you to do, you got to step out. Yes. You got to do it. Yes. It was beyond my comfort zone. Yes. My comfort zone, I don't like asking nobody for nothing. Right. That's me. Lord, say ask. If you say ask, go ask. Mm-hmm. Some of you have not because you ask not. Amen. No, you better soak that in a little bit. So what a word. You have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. Some people don't have a raise because they don't ask for a raise. Some people don't have a promotion because they don't ask for a promotion. Some people don't have the position they're supposed to have and they know they're supposed to have because they won't talk and say, listen, and begin to reason and begin to move like Abraham. And he said, God, will you destroy them if they have this amount? And reason and talk and humble yourself and persuade, hallelujah, people, because God promised you favor, child of God. Let me tell you, your name, I'm going to change your name. Your name ain't Sarah. Your name ain't Jason. Your name ain't Sadna. Your name is favor. Don't you know your name? Your name is favor. Hallelujah. Your name is favor. Hallelujah. Ha. And I'm going to save the word of the Lord for next year. It's going to come up soon. Hallelujah. He already gave me the word for next year. It's a beautiful word. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful word. Hallelujah. But your name is favor. And I want you to begin to expect favor. Favor from God and favor from people. What did I say? Expect favor. In your mind, put aside. You see, sometimes an aunt promises you something, an uncle, a father, somebody promises you something, and they don't do it. Right? But don't confuse that person with God. When God promised you something, He will surely do it. Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, verse 18, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, right? Because he was like 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthening faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was credited to his account for righteousness. In other words, he's saying, God is saying, when you believe what I say, that is credited to you for righteousness. In other words, right, as God speaks to you and you do it, and he speaks to you and you do it, that's how you walk in faith. That's the walk of faith. The walk of faith is not just taking vague Bible passages and trying to follow them. The walk of faith, of course, you have to apply the scriptures to your life. But the walk of faith is the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, coming down and talking to you one-on-one, face-to-face, giving you instructions, giving you a word, telling you to call this guy because I'm going to give it to you for 100. When he say the best he can do is 175, and then you acting upon it and doing it, that's the walk of faith. Amen. When he say you're going to move from faith to faith and glory to glory, that's how you grow. Amen. Not just by coming to church, you got to walk with the Lord. Amen. When anything he tell you, you do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Verse 20. He says he did not waver the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened. He being fully convinced, let's jump, 22. And therefore it was accredited to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us it shall be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up for our offenses, right? And was raised because of our justification. In other words, Jesus Christ was delivered because of man's sin, and he was raised again to make man righteous as they believe in him, put their faith and trust in him, and he begins to move in their life. We want to get to something. He says, therefore, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, how did you become righteous? One day you heard the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose again from the dead. And the third day you said, I believe. The moment you said, I believe, and you open your mouth and say, Lord, I believe. You open your mouth, I believe. God rushed into your mouth, came into your heart, created a new spirit on the inside of you, put his spirit, put his heart on the inside of you, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, canceled all your sins for time and for eternity, raised you up as a holy nation, a royal priest, a peculiar person, hallelujah, anointed you with his spirit, with his power, with his anointing, wrote your name in heaven, signed, sealed, and delivered your inheritance, give you power and authority over demons, over sickness, over all the works of the darkness. The moment you said, yes, Lord, I believe, he rushed into your belly, hallelujah, and you became born again by the Spirit of God, a brand new creation, an overcomer, hallelujah, a devil chaser, a sickness killer, hallelujah. You became, hallelujah, a child of Almighty God. You were changed from darkness to light. Hallelujah. You became the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Hallelujah. You were called from that moment on to look up into the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as you see his radiance, it reflects off your face. Hallelujah. And the heat of his glory comes upon you. And then you become a shining star to men and women in darkness all over the place. And they begin to be drawn by the glory of God in your life. And you move from glory to glory, faith to faith. Here a little, there a little, and you move on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when you hear the word of God, you must embrace it. You must take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. He says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are rejoicing. We have access to grace, God's unmerited favor, everything that he has for you that is in line with your assignment. Remember, I told you, you got to know your call. If you know your call, there are resources that goes along with that call. So we're rejoicing in the faith, right, that has access. Your faith now, your belief in God, your confidence in God, your relationship with God, your walk with God gives you access into his unlimited resources that are in line with your purpose and destiny. Can you hear that or no? You can you believe that? Can you receive that? Your faith, your walk with God gives you access to the supernatural grace of God. Everything that you need, hallelujah, that is in line with your purpose and destiny, that's gonna flow into your life and through your life. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you, this makes a huge difference. One day, God told me, he said, go and get all the children in the community. Bring them in. Get them saved. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Send them back, and I'll touch their parents. And I went and obeyed the Lord, not understanding the grace available to do what he said. And I brought all the children. But then one day, the Lord began to show me. And he said, son, if I tell you get them saved, then there is an anointing available to get them saved. Nobody hearing me. I said, he said, if I told you to get them filled with the Holy Spirit, then there is an anointing available to you to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, if I tell you when they go back to their house, they will influence their children, then there is an anointing available to you. Anything that God tells you, there is an anointing to do it. Now that should change your mentality completely. Because now you should begin to understand that, hey, there is an anointing, a power, a grace, a provision that is released to me because of the word that I have from the Lord. The word that you have from the Lord is your access code to access the resources to bring to pass that word. I don't know. Hallelujah. So he say, verse 2, he says, we glory in, right? We glory in, we rejoice in, right? We happy about all the access that we have into God's grace. Check this now. He says, verse 3. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Oh, my God. Amen. How you're going to, child of God, how you're going to glory in tribulation? How are you going to deal with tribulation? How are you going to deal with trouble? How are you going to deal when the waves begin to get rough? When the winds begin to blow lightning and thunder? How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to deal with it? He said, we also glory in tribulation. Why? Because we know that tribulation produces endurance. In other words, every hard thing in your life, every difficult thing, every promise that you have not seen fulfilled yet, and you say, when is it going to come, God? When is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? What's going on, Lord? And you feel troubled. You feel like you're in tribulation. You feel like you're in the land of nowhere, and you don't know what's going on and when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. God says that tribulation is working together and bringing about something called endurance in your life. So although you may think, well, why does this have to happen? I don't know why things happen. I don't know why everything happens. But one thing I do know is that we know that all things work together for our good, because we called according to his purpose. We call according to his purpose. So that means when my enemies come against me, though they want to destroy me, God will take my enemies coming against me and use it together for my good and make me stronger and make me more anointed. In fact, if you understand the anointing, plenty of people say, God anoint me, but they don't understand the anointing comes from a seed. Hallelujah. And that seed does not produce anointing until it is crushed. Hallelujah. It's got to go through the pressure. It's got to go through the pressing. It's got to be pressed in order to get anointed. When you say, God, anoint me, you just say, God, put me through some pressure. Because let me tell you something. The pressure brings out the anointing. The pressure brings out the power. The pressure brings out the glory. The pressure brings out the character. The pressure brings out the lion on the inside of you. The pressure brings out the giant who cannot be stopped, who cannot be still, who cannot be silenced. Hallelujah. The pressure will drive you to your knees. It'll drive you to turn on your pot. It'll drive you to turn away from your sin. It'll drive you to put away foolishness. It'll drive you to surrender to God. It'll drive you. He said, we glory. Not only do we glory in the fact that we've been called and anointed and appointed by Almighty God, not only do we glory that everything we've been called to do, we've been given granted access to the resources of heaven to bring these things to pass. Hallelujah. Every assignment, if we've been assigned to write a book, there is grace to write that book. If we've been assigned to preach, there's grace to preach. If we've been assigned to a daycare, there's grace to open and run successfully that daycare with children overflowing. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. If we've been called to open a restaurant, there's grace to open and run that restaurant. Too much customers, open the next one. If we've been called to be a baker, there's grace to be a baker. Hey, if we've been called to be a mechanic, there's grace to be a mechanic. Anything you've been called to do, hallelujah. He said, we glory in the fact that there is provision for the vision. But not only do we glory because we know that things are getting better. We know that we are the favorite of God. We know that we are in favor with God. We know that we are on the road of holiness and righteousness. And right around the corner, there is breakthrough. Not only do we glory in that, But when the dark clouds come over us, when the lightning begins to flash and the thunders begin to roar and the seas begin to get oh so scary and rough, and our little boat in this big old ocean, we gotta understand that we have an anchor that reaches beyond the water, beyond that which has changed. We have an immutable, unchangeable God. And though this outward man perishes, and though someone may leave you, and though people may not like you, and though everything may not be going exactly as you want it to go, you gotta know that people may change, things may change, though the mountains be removed. The Lord is stable. The Lord, his promises to you is yes and amen. Hallelujah. And he says, we don't only glory in the good times. We don't only glory in the good promises, but we glory even when tribulation, even when we're in the middle of tribulation and the storm, we glory even then, knowing that that tribulation produces endurance. And that endurance produces, look at verse 4, that endurance produces a proven character. You see, a character has to be proven, hallelujah, for you to be promoted. You see, if you're promoted before your character is proven, then you're going to make a mess. But when you're proven, when your character is proven and you're past the greed, then you're going to go to the next level. Hello. It's the same in the natural. It's the same in the spirit. You can't go higher. Hallelujah. You can't go higher until you pass that test. If the same thing beating you last year and year before and year before that, you better make up your mind to pass this year, or else you're staying in that same class. I don't care how much Bible you know, how much you go to church, how much you pray. When the devil comes to you to tempt you, when God releases a test to you, if you don't pass, you're staying right there. So we got to understand, we got to pass the test. Ooh. So we begin now. He said, not only do we glory in the grace that we have and the faith to access that grace, but we glory in tribulation. We glory in trouble. We understand that the trouble is for our promotion. The temptation is for our approval. Hallelujah. God does not allow anyone to be tempted above what he can bear, but with the temptation, he makes a way so that they can escape. Every temptation, there is an escape hatch for you to escape so that you can be promoted above that devil. You see, you can't beat the devil in public that you can't beat in private. Hello. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, check this. Now, hope, verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, hope does not disappoint it. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our heart. What does that mean? I say, Lord, what does that mean? He says, this is what it means. He says, this is what it means. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in my heart. Listen, what you are hoping for that God has promised, don't be disappointed because the love of God, child of God, God said to tell you that I love you. I love you so much. So what I have promised you and you are hoping for, don't be disappointed because the hope is going to come to pass because I love you. That's why hope won't disappoint, because I love you, because I nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Amen. I made him naked so that you would be clothed. I made him poor so that you would be rich. I bruised him so that you would be healed. I forsook him so that you would never be forsaken. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. The punishment that brought you peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. Child of God, no. Hallelujah. No, hallelujah, that my love for you is unfailing. Yes, and because my love is poured out in your heart, Your hope will not fail. Your hope will not be disappointed, because my love will make sure that your hope that is anchored in me and my promises will be fulfilled in their due season.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. My love, the love of God, will make sure. God will make sure, because of his love for you, that your hope that is anchored in God and in his promises will not be disappointed. But what he promised you, because of his love for you, he will surely do it. That's his word to the house. He will surely do it. What he promised, he will do it. Because of his love, he will do it for you, and he will do it for me. So what do we have to do? We have to rejoice in God. We have to glory in God. And we have to glory in tribulation. And we have to glory in trouble. Because when they talk bad about you, that's time for you to rise up and see the glory of God. When they pray their witchcraft against you, that's time to see the glory of God. When trouble comes, that's time to see the glory of God. Everything that happens to you, nothing escapes the eyes of God. Nothing escapes, hallelujah, the protection of God, the care of God. And he who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Give him glory.
Glory to God.
Give him glory. Give him glory in this house.